But that's part of it. We do need to remember Brother Kenny Pelk and Sister Nancy that the Lord continue to be with them. I know that Brother Kenny Pelkin, he really wants to get back. He really wants to come to church. And he said something to me about, I think the last time I was down there to see him, I think it was when me and my wife went down there, and Brother Kenny, he asked me, he says, well, he says, right now, I know I can't come to church because I just don't feel like it. I just don't have the energy just to go. He said, but I believe that I can bring the church to me. And I said, well, anytime you want us to come, you just let us know. Give us a little time to where we can get everything together and see how many we can get to go and everything. And I said, we'll come down here and we'll have an old time prayer meeting. We'll have some testimony service. We'll have some singing. And if the people are up to it and everything, we may even have some preaching, I don't know. I said, Brother Kenny, I said, I might get you to get up out, I might get you to start preaching. he said that, and he really didn't mind going to the nursing home. He was really, in a way, kind of excited about going because of the doctors had talked to him about, and the physical therapist over there at the hospital had talked to him about, that they was gonna sit down and they was gonna talk to the therapist and everything over at Piney Forest and try to just get him up to where he can do a little more walking. What he's doing, he can get up, and as long as he's got the walker, he can walk probably from the rails to maybe to the front pew. And that's the most that he's been able to do in quite a while. But he said he's gonna talk to him and see if they can get him up and not even worry about nothing else, but just get him up to start walking. And they said that, I believe if you do that, then not only that, it would help him and it would give him the motivation to start doing some other things. You know, we got to be motivated. We got to have some things to motivate us to do other things. And I do thank the Lord for your many prayers. I've had a good day today. I don't know what it is, but I just get up and stand and for 25, maybe 30 minutes or something like that. But when I do, it will start affecting my right leg anyhow, that it'll start getting weak on me towards the end of it. But I tell you what, I just want to thank the Lord. And I always want to be used for Him. I never do want to put myself up on a shelf. The Lord never wants to put none of His people up on a shelf. the sheriff can't do anything. And I believe that's the only way that we can make it through life, is that if we'll just completely turn everything over to the Lord. This evening I got a couple of verses I want to read to you. One of them is in Psalms 56 and verses 8. Well, yeah, 8 through 13. And then I'm going to read in Psalm 61. And then I'm going to end up in Acts chapter 20. There is where I'm going to end up at this evening. But I want to talk to you tonight of something that I think that we don't see much anymore in the house of the Lord. That we don't see much of it going on anymore. The people has done got the, I believe, the people today, and I know sometimes if we don't watch it, we can get so hard-hearted within our own life, with our own, and being caught up in this and caught up in that, that we'll forget about some things. But here, I want to show you some things I believe that's in Scripture right here that can help us. And it's over there in Psalms chapter 56 and verse 8. And it says, "Thou tellest my wandering, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thou woes are upon me, O God. Thy woes are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living." And we can go back and we can see over here in chapter 51. Chapter 51 in the book of Psalms right here. It's just a page back. We can look up here. It says in verse 11, it says, verse 10, it says right here, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and upon me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgression thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. unto thee. We need to have a heart for people. We need to have heart for the sinners right here. We need to have the love that will surpass all the love that we have within our own selves. And we must cast not away thy presence. We must not cast away the presence of God. When God is there with us on the scene, and when we are taken upon ourselves to be a witness unto somebody, then we can also go back over to 56 and says, thou tellest my wandering, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. My eye will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy woes are upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Woe upon me, O God, I will render praise unto thee. But then we go back to verse 8, and it says, in the latter part of it says, my tears into thy bottle. We need to have people that is willing to go out here and to suffer the cause. And if we can go out here and we need to suffer just a little bit for the Lord. And if we suffer just for a little while, he is there to take us up. And he is there to help us day by day. He is there not only to help us, but he is there also to carry us. He is also there to clear our pathway. He is also there ahead of us in the things that he wants us to do. He's going to make sure that we, as his children, are able to do what he's asked us to do. And he knows who they are. He knows the ones that wants to do for him. And if you want to do for him, and if you want to be a blessing unto the Lord, he will clear you that pathway. He will clear away all the stumbling blocks. But within clearing all the stumbling blocks that's in our way, we as individuals, we must realize that not only that, we must, first of all, have our tear ducts open. How can we have the tears upon our heart and upon our mind today? We must have a burning desire to see the people
I hear in the world to get saved. We need to have that desire in our heart. When was the last time that you prayed out to God, said, God, I have a desire to see somebody come to church and walk the aisle and say that they want to get saved. You don't hear that much anymore. You don't hear of it anymore, hardly. They just come in and they're sitting on the pew and they'll just come in and join in with us. But we should not have, it should not be so comfortable in God's house so when they come in that they can feel so comfortable like that I hear went last afternoon or last Saturday afternoon or this afternoon or whatever and went to a ball game and seen the child play ball. And they would get excited about that. They should not be able to come into God's house and be so comfortable to the point that, yes, they'll get up and they can sing the praises of God. They don't need to be that comfortable. We need to have the presence of God and His services here. We need to have His presence here at all times. The shortest verse in the Bible. It's where it says Jesus wept. Two words. Jesus wept. Who was Jesus weeping over? He was weeping over the people that He was with. Because He had heard of them denying Him. He even heard Peter, the one that brought one of the greatest messages there was at that during that time. And he had heard Peter deny that he had ever met the Lord. Deny that he had ever been with the Lord. Why did he deny him? He denied him at that particular time because I don't believe Peter had any tears for the lost soul. We must have tears for that lost soul I hear. Yes, I have some family members that I would love to get saved. But when was the last time and that I just, in my study, I just got alone with God and I just allowed the tears flow from my face, from my eyes, down on my face, onto my clothes, and onto the carpet that it would be so soaking wet. I've read some books when D.L. Moody and some of the others, I think it was Finney. They was out preaching some of the greatest revivals that they had back in their days. But they said before that they knew that they would end up having revival, that they had to come to the church where they was going to have the revival at. And they had to get down on the altar and they had to have a broken heart for the sinner. They had to have the heart broken. We need to have our hearts also broken today. Why? Because people today are just going here and there. They're going from here and they're going from there. They're going from this church to that church to say, well, I don't know, I'm took care for that church. I don't think my children would like that church. Hallelujah. I know he said he preaches from a King James book, but I just don't understand the book. I just don't understand the King James Bible. The reason they don't understand the King James Bible is because they have never met the author of the Bible. They've never met the author. And once you meet the author, once you meet God the Father and God the Son through the precious Holy Spirit, and He saves your unworthy soul, and then you will have a personal relationship with them. And when you have a personal relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, then you will understand what the Word is saying. Why? Because you got one of the three, which all three of them are involved. You have God the Father, which brought about His Son. And His Son brought about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that comforts our soul each and every day. He brought that we could have a teacher. And that teacher was the Holy Spirit that could teach us what He's saying. For a long time there, I'd get in there and I'd study and I'd read my Bible and I'd study and I'd read and I'd read my Bible. Then after I get through reading and everything, I'd pray to God. I said, God, I just don't understand it. God, why can't I understand what I've just read? Why can't I understand it? I mean, I was reading over there where it says, work out your own salvation. I said, well, wait a minute. God, you are contradicting yourself there. Because I was saying, well, you don't get saved because of works. You work because you are saved. But I said, God, I said, you're contradicting yourself. You asking me that I need to work out my own salvation. I didn't understand that. And I said, God, help me to understand that. He said, son, you don't need it now. There's certain things in Scripture. I can read it, and that's all it is. I can read it, and I don't get nothing out of it. See, I haven't been through that yet. I haven't been through that with some of you. But some of the people that I've been through with the different things within their own lives and the different things that they have come up with and all the heartaches that they have, then I can understand what he's talking about. Talking about working out your own salvation. What he's saying is that I'm saved by the grace of God. And I need to do all I can to work. To work for the Lord Jesus Christ that brought upon me the salvation. The Lord Jesus is the one who brought me salvation from heaven. He had brought it from heaven, from God the Father, through His Son, and through the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit brought me into conviction, then the Holy Spirit said, son, said, Lord Jesus, now here is one that wants to talk to you for a minute. And then when I talked to him, I asked him to come to save my soul, to help me, because it's nothing else that I can do. I've tried everything under the sun and nothing satisfies. See, it didn't stop there. Then his son took it to the father. God brought it to his son. His son brought it to the Holy Spirit. Where the Holy Spirit would write, would pin down the words. How many are so thankful that you had the Holy Spirit that would pin down the scripture right here for us, to where we could come in after we've saved, and where we can be able to take the same scripture that we read today, that we can also take it into somebody else. And they can understand in what we're saying. Because we can tell them what God has done for us. That's all God wants us to do. We don't have to memorize verses. We don't have to memorize this. We don't have to memorize the Roman road over there in Romans chapter 10. We don't have to memorize that. You don't have to memorize John 3:16. What our testimony is about what God has done for me and you. That's what our testimony is. And what kind of testimony do we have? Is it a testimony that God is pleased with? Is it? Before, we're going to have Jubilee start the 8th of June, which I think tomorrow will be about 3 weeks, starting tomorrow. If I'm not mistaken. Now, Jubilee means 50. Every 50 years, people in the Old Testament would gather together, and they would sing praises unto God. But we're celebrating Jubilee, the 50th anniversary of this church being established and being brought up from the ground up. Now, what is going to happen with that? For something to drastically to happen in the moving of the Spirit of God, the moving of God in the services that night, and people coming in and getting saved. Yes, I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about deacons. I'm talking about whosoever. If they lost, if they've never accepted Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, and yes, I mean personal. You have to, he has to be personal. He has to be intimate with you. And you've got to be intimate with him. Before that can happen, and before this church right here can go forward and forget about yesterday, and forget about last year, and the last 5 years and whatever, and forget about all the people that come in and it's gone. To forget about all of that, we got to do one thing. We got to come back to the altar with our tears. With our tears, weeping over that lost individual soul I hear. We don't have to know them. We just say, God, I would just love for you to go out here and save one soul. Lord, if it's going to take me, Lord, if it takes me just to set me down for a while, for one individual to come in and walk the aisles, that's what I want to do. But we've got to mind God, and we've got to do it the way the Scripture says do it. And Jesus wept. He wept over the church. And I believe Jesus Christ is weeping over the church more today than probably ever has before. Why? Because he sees how the church has done God. Sees how the church will just go about their, well, we're going to start doing this and we're going to start doing that. We don't have young people in the church. So we need to start getting some young people into the church. Well, you know they're not going to come if we get up there and start preaching King James and we get up there and start to hollering and all like that. And we can get to waving our hand and saying amen and shouting and praising God. Hey, we need to bring some of that back into the house of God. We need to let the young people see what used to go on in the house of God. I can remember a time myself, and I got saved late in my life when I was 30 years old. It was in 1980, August of 1980 of that year. And I've been in a few services at that time. When I've seen God come down, and God just come down through the ceiling, and started touching the lives of the people. And the people would just start popping up from the seat. And they said, well, preacher, I got something I need to say at this time. I just got to say it. And they just pop up and say, preacher, I just want to thank God for saving my unworthy soul. And as soon as he'd get through, he'd sit down. There's another one pop up. As soon as he'd sit down, there's another one pop up. And another one pop up. You'd have 10 or 15 of them just standing around waiting their turn. And the preacher never get up there, didn't even open the Bible, even start preaching. Why? Because God was doing the preaching himself through the people. See, the young people, they don't understand none of that. And I know that Julius is the youngest one we have here. But within that, I want her to be able to understand that's what it means to come in and to worship God and to thank Him. I need God to break my heart into to where I can start back weeping. I need God to take my heart and completely break it in two, where the tears will start flooding my soul. And as these tears start flooding your soul, the tears will mend the heart back together. And then as the heart is being mended back together, then the next thing you know, a heart will be broken again. And then as the tears shed down our face, then a heart will be mending back together. You know, God is the only physician. God is the only heart surgeon that can come and take a sinner that has a black, corrupt heart that's been broken, that's been stained with sin. He's the only one that come in and go in and do a complete transplant on someone and not even leave a scar there. Not even leave a pain there where they will end up breaking your chest bones there when you go into the hospital here. But see, when God does things, He does it right. He does it. Some cases, it's the easy way where we don't have to suffer from it. Then He also does it the hard way. And the hard way, when He does the hard way, is when we done got so hard-headed and we done got so stubble, so contrite and everything, and we have such a I gotta say it in that, but God wants to say it. Pride. You know, pride leads to destruction. Pride will also bring about worry also. And you know something? I've had people tell me 95%, some of them was went as high as 99%, said 95%, and 99% of the things that we worry about them never comes to pass. And we worry about it. And we stress over it. And we get so sick in body over it. And then we'll come to find out that God's already took care of it. God takes care of it. I told Brother J.D. Walker this evening on the phone. I told him, I said, Brother J.D., I says, please put me on y'all's prayer list at church or wherever you go, camp meetings or wherever you go. I said, I believe it's the prayer that's going to, this day and time, that is going to keep the saints of God together and going to get us all through it. And I says, J.D., I said, I don't know why that I'm having to go through what I'm going through right now. I said, because there's a whole lot of things that I would love to be able to do right now. I love to go out and visit. I love to be out here just talking to people. But I says, now, I says, basically what I have to do is just go and preach on Sunday and Sunday night. And then I have to end up resting on Monday. And then I would have to take Tuesday and Wednesday to rest up and study for Wednesday night. And then it goes over and over. And he asked me, he said, how's the people down there taking it? I said, well, I'm going to tell you what they told my wife. That they said that they're going to stand behind me. Said they didn't want me to leave. And I don't, that's one thing I never want to do. I never want to get to the place that I have to say, I got to quit. Because see, when God called me into the ministry, when God called me to preach the gospel, He did not tell me what my salary would be. He did not tell me how much time I would get off. He did not tell me about all the benefits that the church would give me. He didn't tell me all of that. And he didn't tell me that at a certain time you have to retire. You have to retire at 65 or 70 years old. And I said, Brother J.D., I said, ain't no way in the world I could do it. I said, because God did not quit on me. And I said, on top of that, my sweet, sweet Savior did not forget about me. He didn't forget about me when I was on the cross. He had me on His mind. Like that song that a whole lot of people sing today. I'm on His mind. And I was. You was also. But in saying that, and I don't understand when here I was. I wasn't even thought of at that time. None of my family was even thought of at that time. But the Son of God had to allow His only Father in heaven He had to turn His back on His only begotten Son. Why? Because God the Father could not look down upon sin. He could not look at sin. And that is one reason I say today, that the Lord Jesus Christ, now when he says, Father, forgive him, because right now he's sick in body, he's having many strokes right now, and maybe his mind is getting a little off right now. But Father, just forgive him. And I like your one verse where it says in the Bible, I've got exactly where it's at. What it says in there. He says, son, what sin are you talking about? What sin are you talking about? See, he didn't see the sin that was in my life. See, the sin that he saw was the sin that was on his son's life that was placed there because of me. And when his father turned his back on his only son, he said, I don't see no sin. It's just like Moses up in the burning bush. Moses come up and he says, what did he say? He says, I believe I just saw the face of Jesus. I saw the face of God. Go on, you read a little further. He said, no, it wasn't the face of God. It was the hinder parts of God. But God also he turned his back. Why? Because see, Moses had sin in his life. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Father, I know, Lord, that each one of our hearts needs to be broken today. Father, where we can just be able to come and bat it at the foot of the cross, Lord, and just shed the tears for the lost individual soul. Father, it does not have to be someone that we personally know. But Father, we do know that there are a bunch of people out here, a lot of people out here that does not know the Lord as their Savior. Father, we need to have their burden upon our heart. We don't want to see no one die and go to hell. Much less our family members. Much less our friends, our co-workers that we daily speak to. But Father, we're just asking, Lord Jesus, that you'll just break our hearts, Father, where the tears can go down and fill up that tear bottle. And Father, where your work can start. We need to have people today that's willing to give all they got. And when I say that, in all we got in giving back to you, Lord, it means that we just are willing. We are just a willing vessel. Lord Jesus, we're just asking now that you may touch each one of the hearts that's here. And Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the next days that are coming. Father, we thank you for the upcoming Jubilee, Lord. But Father, we are thankful that you went to Calvary and shed your blood for the remission of sin. That we could come to you and repent And they asked you, Lord Jesus, to save our soul. And Lord Jesus, after you saved our soul, Father, that you put in our hearts the desire to be in thy house and to serve you. So God, tonight I pray. Tonight, Lord, that you may help us to get a little closer to you. Help us, Lord, that, Father, that we are individuals that's willing to shed a tear for the people I hear that needs our help and needs your forgiveness and needs your salvation. Lord, we thank you. We ask, Lord, now that you may bless the rest of the service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.